Hello, and welcome to another live episode of Butterfly Evolution. We want to thank you for joining us tonight for, again, another live episode of Butterfly Evolution. I know that it is football night for some of you, and I am just so thankful that you have decided to choose Butterfly Evolution over football, although some of you may be looking and listening at the same time. That's okay. Again, thank you for joining us tonight. Before we get started, we don't want to lose any time tonight, so we're just going to move right along into our topic for tonight. But before doing that, I do want to just touch base and touch on our housekeeping issues. Again, if you're listening online, let's go there first. If you're listening online, if you've logged in to Butterfly Evolution through the Blog Talk Radio site, remember that if you are a registered follower, you can submit your comment or question online, but you do have to be a registered follower of the show. And I do have the chat line open now. If you are listening on by phone, you are able to select the number one at any time during the show, preferably sooner than later. If you do have a comment or a question, please remember that we do not want to wait to the end of the show to get you in with us, online with us, to share your comments or ask your questions. So keep in mind that we do want to know if you have anything to share. Matter of fact, if you want to share something tonight, go ahead and select the number one, because it doesn't have to be about what Tika and I share or about what our thoughts or views are about this topic or any other topic. If you have something that you want to share, maybe you've gone through a divorce, you're going through one, you're thinking about going through one, maybe you've gone through it and your kids are having issues, so we want to be able to touch base on anything that is an issue for you or anything that you have to share. Maybe you know a friend, just anything. So if you do have or you plan to comment tonight or have a question, go ahead and select the number one so that Tika and I will know to keep our time moving quickly in order to get everybody in on this conversation. This is a very, very tough topic, but one that we do need to discuss. I think we need to start talking more about things that keep us in bondage, and that's what Butterfly Evolution is here for. We're dying to live, and in order to do that, we have to talk about it, find a solution for it, connect with people that have gone through it, that can help us get through those things, and share some wisdom about the things that we're going through. Another thing, if we are ever disconnected, remember to please stay online. We will sign back on in most cases if neither Tika and I are not disconnected at the same time. So if you lose me, then Tika is there to take over, vice versa. If Tika drops the call while she's speaking, I'm typically able to keep going. So, Tika, you are online with us, correct?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, great, great.
You hear me?
All right, well, we're just okay. Tika, anything before I get started?
No, just
and
happy that everyone. Yeah, no, I'm just saying I'm just happy for all that have tuned in to choose us versus football tonight.
Okay, well, we have quite a few people logged in, so I am thankful for that. Before we get started, of course, tonight's topic is about divorce. And there's no real way to go into talking about divorce until we determine exactly what takes us to divorce. And, of course, that is marriage. So what we'd like to do is start just by defining marriage to you. And I have come across some interesting sites about marriage, one from the Webster Dictionary, of course, and another just from the Wikipedia definition of it, and then interesting enough, came across one that talks about the kids. You know, there's a definition for marriage as it relates to our children, and that to me is very interesting. I've never come across a topic where I'm doing study on, and there is you know, not saying it's not out there, but I've never known that there was a specific definition for kids as it relates to marriage or the form of marriage. So that being said, let's just move right along. And again, if you all are out there and you plan on just coming into queue to talk, please go ahead and select the number one. The Webster definition for marriage is the state of being united to a person of the opposite sex as husband or wife in a consensual or contractual relationship recognized by law. Okay, so that's the Webster dictionary, the Webster version of it, and that's coming out of the Webster dictionary. The Wikipedia definition, similar but a little different, so I want to read that as well. The Wikipedia definition is, marriage is a social union or legal contract between people that creates kinship. It is an institution in which interpersonal relationships, usually intimate and sexual, are acknowledged in a variety of ways depending on the culture or subculture in which it is found. Such union, of course, we know it is formalized by weddings or wedding ceremonies, or is sometimes called matrimony as well. And it goes on to tell us, you know, people marry for different reasons. I found these reasons interesting because I didn't see love in there, although they may take love as being part of the emotional part of it. But some of the reasons that is explained in this study that I read upon is they marry for legal reasons, social reasons, emotional reasons, economic reasons, spiritual, and religious. So they may be interpreting the emotional part as a sense of love, but I just found it interesting that love was not specifically mentioned in there. And it goes on to say these might include arranged marriages, family obligations, legal establishments for a nuclear family unit, the legal protection of children, and public declaration of commitment. And goes on to explain a little bit more, and I think this is very important because I have, in my own life, come across people who have married people who are still responsible, so to speak, for their family. You know, this is typically people from another area rather than the United States, but I have friends that have married people, or married men, I'll just say specifically, who are still responsible for their parents back at home financially. So the money that they're making here, they're having to share some of that and send it back home. And I find that so interesting that it became an issue after the fact, because I would think this is something that one would discuss or people would discuss prior to marriage. But that's because of the experiences and what I've gone through and seeing other people go through. But I just would think that would be one major thing that people would discuss prior to getting into a marriage. And, of course, that caused an issue in this particular marriage. But it does goes on to say that in some cultures that the member that you marry is responsible for their family, okay? So, again, a good reason to talk and know who you're marrying and get it out there as to what your expectations are. And Tika, feel free to jump in anytime you're ready.
Okay.
The third definition, of course, this is about the kids, and if anybody knows me, you know, kids are very important to me, and I found this interesting that it was a definition for kids. It says, the legal relationship into which a man and a woman enters for the purpose of making a home and often raising a family. I found that very, very interesting. Couple of reasons, and I want to share those with you, because as we talk about divorce, this is an open topic, although we want to touch base on some major things here tonight, but this is an open topic as so many people are affected by divorce. So with the kids, and it, again, I want to read that, the legal relationship into which a man and a woman enter for the purpose of making a home and often raising a family. I came across the study, and that's interesting to me, number one, because that's not mentioned in either of the definitions above. And when you think about what kids go through when their parents are divorcing, that affects some children throughout their life, the way that they select a mate, if they marry, who they choose to marry again, you know, that's the way that they select their mate. Children are really broken when they're, I always say 1 + 1 = 2. I think that's how children
sometimes look at mother and father. They're, you know, my mother won, my father won. I am a product of that. You know, I'm the sum of that. I'm two. And I ran across a study called Toy Makers and Divorce. And interestingly enough, that did not make sense to me because I'm thinking toys and divorce. Where does that connect? And it's a study that says the toy makers monitor the divorce rate closely because when the divorce rate is high, so is sales for toys. And it goes on to say that the reason why, or their perception of the reason why, is that because parents, grandparents, and whomever else, they tend to buy kids more when there's divorce going on, when they're in a state of divorce. And it goes on to say that they feel like this is because each person is trying to win that child's affection. Now, not that I disagree with buying a child something when there's tough times. That should be in addition to addressing the issue, really sitting down and talking with our children about what's going on with, you know, within reason. There's no reason for them to know everything, but we should be as honest as we can be with them. Because if not, that's pretty much like putting a Band-Aid on a gunshot wound. I mean, that's just like putting a Band-Aid on someone's wound that's been shot. It's not going to work. It's not going to help. So I just found that interesting. Again, talking about the kids, and specifically kids having a total different definition of marriage. And so here we go. Let's move right into our topic. I want to say about divorce, I think divorce leaves people in captivity, or the thought of divorce sometimes leaves people in captivity, which is why they kind of stay in marriages that are not working for them. And it kind of brings life to a halt in so many ways. I've known many friends that have gone through it, many people, including myself, who struggle with divorce, or the fact of going through it, the fact of losing so many family members to it, because divorce is not just about the male, the husband and the wife. It's about your in-laws. It's about your children, your everybody. It's your friends. You know, if there's a disconnect, there's a line that you have to draw. Or people expect you to. I shouldn't say that you have to draw that line, but there is this kind of invisible line that is expected once divorce happens. You split the furniture. You almost split the kids, too, because you have to share them as well. In saying that, I've noticed just since this talk show started, even more, that people are really, really hurting. People are going through so much today. We have what the state of America is going through, the job loss. We have so many men who are considered the head of the household who are not working. They don't have jobs. They don't know how they're going to take care of their families. I had a friend call today and shared some things with me that really helped bring some of this to light as far as divorce, because I hadn't really, I guess, thought about it with this show, how much what's going on outside, you know, as far as job losses and things like that, how it must be affecting, you think about those things, but you don't really ponder on it, how it really must be affecting the divorce rate and just creating additional stress within the family. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that as we move along in the show. Tika, do you have anything before I keep going?
As far as what I'm wanting to bring to the show, I'm not sure whether I want to just bring a lot of statistics or where I stand with divorce and what divorce has, how divorce has altered my life and my children's life, being that they're a product of parents being divorced. And I've been divorced for 4 years, so included in part of my research and statistics today, I'll also be including part of some of my story and how divorce has affected me and my three daughters. And so I'm including that in part of what divorce does to families and as well the effects it has on children and the aftermath, the moving forward after everything is over, after the dust has settled down, the steps needed and the steps you have to take to move forward in order for everybody to be able to lead productive and healthy lives.
Okay, you want to get into that now, or you want to address that later?
Well, if you're going to start with divorce, because I have more of the aftermath. I don't know if you were going to focus on marriage, because I have a little bit more of the aftermath and then the stages of grief that I want to put more emphasis on.
Okay. Well, I'll keep going. I want to focus on now the percentage rate. Note that 50% of marriages end in divorce. Interestingly enough, there's the statistics out there that say 70% of those will remarry almost immediately. It says within 5 years. I find that interesting that 70% of the people that are divorcing are choosing to remarry. Reason being, if we're so disgusted, or, and I don't know if disgusted is the proper word for it, but I sent out the topic yesterday to several people, as I do every Sunday, and I instantly got a reply back that said, you know, people take marriage for a joke, Christians included, so why bother? And I think that's one statement coming from one person. However, I do believe that the majority of people are leaning toward just a distaste for marriage, commitment, and things like that. And I think it's a group issue. I don't think it's a male issue or a female issue. I think it's just a breakdown or disconnect as it relates to male and female and how God meant for that union to be. So, interesting enough, again, 70% of people that divorce decide to marry again. However, that same 70%, they're more likely to divorce. It gets, that rate of divorce is higher, or statistic for the 70% that remarry a second time, their possibility of being divorced again is higher than it was in their first marriage, which is totally, I guess, it just sounds kind of obscene to me, you know, because I think, I guess I look at it as, in my own life, I would hope second time around that
it
would be, I would choose better, I would be better, I would have dealt with my own issues, because I don't think that there's ever one person that's truly to blame in a marriage. I think that people need to, and we'll talk about that more as well, but I think people really need to regroup and look at themselves and say, what did I do? Because I can tell my story. I could sit here if I chose to and tell you my story, and you guys would probably be sympathetic to me, whereas someone's mate could sit and tell the story, and you would be sympathetic. You'd hear a story or a version of the same marriage, but from two different people, and you probably would be confused unless you have two people together, and sometimes it's still, you're not able to get a clear version of what really happened in the marriage, because it truly becomes a breakdown of communication, not being able to love that person or be the person, or even understand sometimes what that person is looking for in you, because we're, so many of us are incomplete within our own lives and knowing who we are, till it's almost impossible for someone to know what to give you, when to give it, when do you need it, when do you not need it. And those are critical things in a relationship. I'm going to stop because I see we have some callers, and I'm so thankful for that. We have a caller, and we can just pick back up. I can follow up based on what they have to say, but I want to get those callers in because they may have something different to share. We have a caller from our 615 area code. The last four digits is 5957. Caller, we've brought you in queue.
Yeah.
We have a caller. Are you on with us?
No.
615?
Well.
Hi, who do we have online with us? Okay, we're going to keep going. That's a caller from 615 with the last four digits of 5947. One more time. Okay, again, callers, keep in mind that if you do have a comment or a question, please select the number one. If you do not, please just kind of listen in. You don't have to select any number. I'm going to go right to the Memphis area. We have a caller from the 901 area code with the last four of 9728. Caller, you're on air with us.
Hi, Tammy. It's Peggy. How are you? Hi, Tika.
Hi, Peg.
Well,
hi, how are you?
I'm great. And, of course, you've picked a topic that's near and dear to my heart, And I'm so glad to see this topic. And, you know, we all know, and it's agreed, because it's been all over the news and all over the media everywhere about, regarding the divorce rate, and I believe it's at 52% currently. However, you know, I'm being divorced. I honestly believe, because I've counseled people for years and years and years who were thinking of divorce, I think that people go into marriage not really knowing or they're not well educated on what to expect or how to prepare for a marriage. They spend, after they become engaged, they may spend 6 months to a year planning a wedding, but they don't plan the marriage, and that concerns me. And I know that a number of years back, the state of Tennessee passed a law to where before you got married, there's a requirement that you go for marriage counseling. Well, that's a joke because it's a 2 or 3 day, you sit down for 2 or 3 sessions where they teach you about finances and so on. I would really like to see people and churches really promote the idea of a 2-year courtship. Now, this is just me, okay? Maybe date for a year. If you get engaged, then that year that you've become engaged, then you begin marriage counseling for a year while you're planning that marriage. Because people don't realize when those children come into a marriage, it changes the dynamic of that relationship. It changes. And they need to be better equipped to know how to deal with those changes, as well as finances, jobs, splitting their time, sex, all of these things that I think that a lot of people go into a marriage thinking it's going to be absolutely beautiful, we're going to work it out, love is going to be wonderful. We all know that doesn't happen, don't we? But that's my personal feeling, is I would love to see people who get so serious about forking over $10,000 to $20,000 for a wedding get pretty serious and even more serious about marriage counseling so that they can have a long, successful marriage and, most importantly, allow God to be the foundation of that marriage, because that's what's going to hold it up.
I agree, and I don't think a lot of people, like you said, Peggy, I don't think people even consider, I don't think we really recognize or realize, for me, this may sound crazy to some others, but it took me forever just to kind of get past, there were so many things I needed to get past just in order to be able to move forward, come to a point where I could feel like I could move forward, even then, you know, still at standstill. But this is the one thing that, to me, that I stood before God and committed to do. And it sometimes it can make you feel like a failure. And I'm sure some people, more so probably women than men, and I don't have any statistics to back that up, but marriage is something that God put together. You know, I've heard of marriages made in heaven and things like that. Marriage is something that God wants to happen for a reason. You know, he said with Adam that man is not meant to be alone. There's so many things that we don't think about, and we're wanting the ceremony to last forever. The ceremony, wow, is just that. And I don't think, like you said, people really think about what marriage means. It's a lifetime being with a person. I wish they would look at it as being a commitment to love this person that you've chosen or that you're choosing to live the rest of your life with. And then you need to understand that person to the fullest. I think in some ways it's like walking into a dealership to pick out a car. You know, it's all shiny and pretty, but you got to keep the oil changed, keep air in the tires, and so forth. It takes work to keep that car going. If you want to keep it for a lifetime and not have to pay for it, you know, for the rest of your life, so to speak. So
You know, Tammy, I'm head over heels in love with my husband, and we've been married 10 years, 10 and a half years, and I'm head over heels in love with him. But I'm also under no illusion that it's not his job when he gets up every single day to make sure that every hour of my day he's making me happy, because I have to also do my part in being happy, and that's being well-grounded in the Word. You know, if I'm not plugged into the Lord, then my expectations of my husband are unrealistic.
Right.
Because I'm expecting him to fill a void in my life that he's incapable of filling.
Oh, God. Yeah. Right.
Exactly. Now, I think that happens a lot in relationships, that people are looking for, you know, that spouse to save them or take them away from a situation or offer them something better, when if you can't do that for yourself, if you've not made it to a place of contentment and happiness, and
that person won't complete
you. Knowing your have a relationship, it cannot work. It cannot be done. You will have a life of misery trying to always please and have people please you, when only we can do that through our relationship with God. And I believe outside of one's relationship with God, marriage is the next it. Outside of your relationship with God, your union with your spouse is the next it, so to speak. So Peggy, thank you. Anything else you want to share?
No, I think that's about it. I appreciate the show.
Thank you. And good to hear that someone's happy in their marriage and going on 10 years plus. That's a blessing. So thank you for sharing. Okay, we have another caller. If we want to get you in, it's lit up, so we're going to just keep bringing you in. We have a caller from the 910 area code. I believe that's North Carolina, with the last four of 3069.
Hello?
We have you in. Hi.
Hello, Peggy. This is Aileen from North Carolina.
Hi.
Hello,
Hi, first-time caller and listener.
I'm listening. I was listening to Peggy. And I'm happy and praise God that she has a husband that loves her and she's deeply in love. But first of all, and I agree with her, I agree with you, but the Bible says marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. We have women today, and I'm not putting women down. I am divorced. I am a Christian. Just because we're Christian doesn't mean that we don't go through. Sometimes we marry for the wrong reasons, like you said. We think that person is going to make life better, and we have a void within our own lives that we think this person is going to fulfill. But then when God comes in and takes over, and you have some men who don't want a Christian wife. They like you the way you were. They want that old person. But see, when God comes in, you can't choose a man over the Lord. You can't do that.
Right.
Only God can change that man. A woman can't change a man. And feel free to cut in, and I can't remember her name, but hello, if I can't remember the other lady's name. But the marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled. Us, sometimes women look for, the Bible says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing.
Finds a good thing.
We look for, yes, he who finds a wife. The Bible says, not she who finds a wife, but he says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. That's Proverbs 18:22. And we have so many women today that they're looking for the wrong things. And how can two people walk together if they're unequally yoked?
Right.
I'm looking at it in a spiritual sense. You know what God put together, no man take asunder. You know, and
right.
So that's the only way I can look at marriage. And, you know, some men, they don't, no matter how good the wife is, and it can go vice versa. They're not, it seems like they have a void that they need to fill. The only person that can fill that void in their life is Christ. You know, there's and yes, our kids suffer from, you know, kids suffer from divorce. You want to say something? I don't want to take over. I'm just.
I think we're all saying the same thing here, because one of the major reasons I think for the high divorce rate is because people individually are so disconnected from God, from the relationship.
Yeah. Yeah.
Marriage should be a ministry in itself that
it's
glorifies.
Yeah.
We should be a ministry that will glorify God, but we've taken God out of everything, particularly our marriage.
That's right.
One partner's trying to appease them, their flesh, and just please themselves and just seek to do what feels right to them and what feels good to them, you can't honor God and honor yourself and do what you please to do as well. And some people really have this, they have a level of confusion when it comes to what God has placed us here for. We're meant to serve Him and glorify Him. But, you know, it's just a lot of times we do walk, we walk our own way and our own path until we come to know who He is. But a lot of times it takes one partner much longer than it does the other, and it sometimes winds up ending in divorce. And like y'all just said, the children suffer. They suffer the most because when you're an adult, you know how to run and lean to God versus when you're a child, even though you try to teach them, that's still a harder concept for them to grasp on leaning to God.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But with God's strength and with a mothers that you have to talk to your children. You can't hide it. You know, we shelter, some, depend on the age, we shelter our children, you know, and in a sense it's good, in a sense it's not. I think we should be honest with our kids. We don't give kids enough credit. You know, they're
smart.
And they are looking, they're listening, you know, and they're suffering.
And they're hurting.
The ones that
hurting
the most, that catch the most damage from it.
Right. So they need to be told a lot of truth so they can they will learn how to better deal with what's going on by not keeping a lot, you know, by course selectively choosing what to tell them, but to keep them informed about what's going on, and that helps their healing as well. I do agree with that.
That's right. And I'm listening. I love you guys' show. I just started listening, so I would definitely be listening. I'm just gonna sit back and listen and enjoy the rest of the show.
Thank you.
Because, Tammy, you're right, because we're in a world that people are hurting, dying and hurting and committing suicide because of sometimes you don't have nobody to go to. You know, God put people on this earth. Yes, he put people on this earth for us to, but we tend to hide it. We tend to keep it under the rug. You know what I'm saying? We sweep it under the carpet. And on the inside, we're just dying. We're dying,
right?
So I love this show, and I thank God for this show, and I'm going to be praying for this show because
thank you
guys are really
so
touching God. And we need so much of this because there's so many women who's hurting, as well as men. You got just as many men that's hurting as women. And then, you know, God give us, you got some people teach, okay, you don't go to counseling, you rely on the Lord. The Lord give these people knowledge. You know, on this earth, he gives us people, he places people on this earth for us to run to, you know, for us to talk to. And a lot of us don't do that, especially black women. We tend to hide so much, so much.
Right.
But it festers and it festers and all of a sudden it comes to a head. So, but I am definitely going to keep you all in prayer and keep this lift it up in prayer. So God bless you guys. And I'm going to just sit back and listen.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And please share it with others.
I will. Thanks.
All right.
Wow.
Okay, we're just going to callers. We have a caller from the 206 area code. I believe this is Kevin.
It is. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. How are you?
All right. Hey, Tequa. Hey, Sammy. How are you doing?
Hello, Kevin.
First of all, I just want y'all to know that I like your show. The Raiders are playing, and I'm listening to your show, so how about that?
Wow. Thank you.
I got a couple of things that I wanted to interject. Of course, you need to love God first and then your family. But one thing that my mother used to always say, rest her soul, she used to say that she used to preach to me, actually. She didn't say much about my marriage, but she used to say if you ever mention the word divorce, that makes it an option. So don't ever mention divorce. Don't ever mention divorce. And
that's a seed. You planted that seed. Okay.
Exactly. And my aunt, and I think I told you about my aunt and uncle that were married for 50 years. She used to always tell me that she was never going anywhere, so you might as well make it work. Now, my two cents as a man is that confidence is everything. If you know without the shadow of a doubt that your woman, that your wife, that your significant other is confident in you, you will break your back to make sure that you don't let them down.
If you know that your mate, say that one more time for me.
I can only speak as a man because I've never been a woman. But if you have confidence from your wife has confidence in you as a man, there's nothing better than that. There's nothing better than that at all, right. Because you're gonna spend your last breath making sure that you don't let her down.
Right.
What? From what I see.
But it does a lot of damage if she has a lack of confidence in him.
Absolutely.
Correct?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And well, I mean that's the only two cents that I have. But
okay.
My aunt, and I speak about my aunt and uncle a lot. But one conversation that we had was I told her that I want someone that has the confidence in me to know that I will never let them live in a cardboard box. She said, "Well, guess what? If we lived in a cardboard box, I'd be happy as a pig in slot with my husband Charles, because I know that he would make us the best cardboard box that there was."
And see, that is so important. I think we as women, and women, I'm not beating up on us, but the Bible tells us to be in reverence. Women, be in reverence of your husband. And I can tell you, I failed in that area, not being the sole person, you know, there's some areas that we have to realize that we fail in as women and as wives. Same thing with men. And you have to know your word. We can't, I think we pick and choose what part of the Bible we want to hold on to. But I do think the marriage concept is out of order as far as men being head of the household and women, you know, again, being in reverence of their spouses. So with that same note, men need to step up as well, because I think women do that, not saying it's right, but I think a lot of women do that because they feel like they have to. Like, if I don't, we will be in that box. And it comes across wrong. And so, Kevin, as you were saying, when we feel that way, I'm sure it comes out, because there are sometimes you feel like, and although your mate may not get you there to that box, but when you feel like you don't have my best interest at hand, it changes the game in marriage. It totally puts the woman into this survival mode where it doesn't matter who's head and who's not, or who should be. Not saying that that's right. But when a woman gets into that mode where...
This is my opinion only, so I can't speak for everybody else. But that, to me, women are quick to give up.
Yeah.
Women are quick to panic, and I don't want to insult anyone, but that's my opinion. I think women are quick to panic, especially if they already know what their husband is capable of. If you married a strong man, he's going to continue to be a strong man. He's not going to just all of a sudden flip one day and become this weak person that's not going to take care of you. But if you panic, then
you're going to make impulsive choices.
Exactly, and that can ruin a whole bunch of things. And that's when you start saying divorce, and that makes it an option.
Right. I think some people know they marry people, and then they know who they are. And then they think somehow marriage is going to change them, or they will be able to make them what they want them to be, or the type of person that they want them to be, or have the morals and values that they want them to have.
The person that you married is the person that you're going to get.
Exactly. But I think people are so hungry, especially women, so hungry for a man, regardless. You know, my husband, I have a husband, I'm getting married. They're longing for that special day with the white dress, the lovely music. And like Peggy said, they don't think about what marriage really means. You're talking in a lifetime.
And the rest of their lives, yeah. What takes place the day after that wedding and the rest of your life? What is going to happen?
True.
Not taking that into consideration.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Kevin, for sharing. We're going to let you get Raiders. We have some more callers, and so we're just going to keep taking. But thank you for tuning in, and I guess we'll let you get back to your football.
All right, ladies.
Thank you.
Tammy, I just wanted to kind of put a little bit more emphasis on the last caller that we had from North Carolina when she was just telling about the children and the marriage and everything. When I look up, you know, first marriages and the 45 to 50% of marriages that end in divorce, it says for second
marriages, they tend to end 60 to 67% end in divorce. And for a third marriage, 70% to 73% of those marriages end in divorce. And with me, even though I've been divorced for 4 years, of course, I plan to marry again one day when the time is right, when that's what God, when God has orchestrated this to be in my life. But I don't know, I got a little emotional as she was talking, just because I also read statistics telling about the children, and first marriages, just telling how first marriages usually end with a duration of about 8 years. And in the year 2000, I know that was a while back, but the statistics then were 21 million divorces. But in that same year, 58 million couples were married but still living separated. But then every year, more than 1 million children are affected by divorce. And I guess I just really want to kind of put a little bit more emphasis on what is happening to the children, because as I've watched my children, I've watched them grow and I've watched them evolve and become stronger as well as I have, because I noticed with whatever I was going through, they were going through. When I was in a panic mode and a fighting mode and an area to where I didn't know where to turn to, I noticed they did the same. And I was told that however I was feeling, that's how they will be feeling. And if they see me become strong, they'll begin to behave in ways of being strong as well. And so I didn't realize, you know, you're going through so much at the time, we tend to forget. Well, not forget, we know they're going through something too, but a lot of times we need to take the time, even when we're going through a divorce or we're in that difficult moment, we need to take the time out to take care of ourselves and keep ourselves healthy and strong spiritually, because we have to be that extra voice of reason and the extra strength for our children, and we have to be there to teach them how to handle this and how to deal with this effectively. Because my girls, they have two parents that love them, but their dad recently married right after our divorce. So with that happening, that tend to put an extra portion of stress in them and on them that was something that I didn't even know how to deal with. It was like trial and error for all of us. And so just I can say that in my 4 years of divorce, two of those years I truly struggled and I didn't know what to do. And I grieved extensively because I didn't know how to let go of the past and I resented so much. But I can say that my last 2 years, it was the time that I took to actually surrender, and I got into position of surrendering by getting on my knees and recognizing truly and knowing without a shadow of a doubt where my help came from and where to place my hope, where to place my faith, where to place everything, because I had completely given up on me. I had completely given up on everything, and for so long I was angry at the universe. But it went through. I had to go through a trying time of realizing that this is not all that God has for me, and he can use me in such a way that I cannot imagine. But this has been my desire to help women who are hurting, because I, even though I'm no longer hurting, even though I feel more whole now than I ever have in my entire life, to see a woman hurting and to see children hurting, going through the brokenness that broken families cause in these different individuals, it just creates you to want to help more, to see if these are things that can be prevented, like Peggy was saying, with counseling. It was not something that we did, and it's a lot of things that I want to look at. What did I do in my life that I may be able to help someone else in their walk, whether it be prior to marriage, in their marriage, or going through a divorce? Where can I help them in those areas that I didn't do such a good job? And so just with wrapping this all up, just putting a lot more emphasis. I want to put a lot of emphasis on just really strongly being there for your children and knowing that with the steps that I've taken to stay walking with God, they have turned that way as well with being in church and serving others. And when I began to serve others, it took a lot of emphasis off of woe is me and pitying myself and living daily in a pity party. It began to take my eyes off of me and realize that I was blessed in a lot that God has given me, and I began to see in a different light and be able to look through a different set of eyes. How can I use this tragedy and see the blessing in it in order to move forward?
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing, Tika. And there is life after divorce.
After divorce.
You know, and once you get through all of it, whatever you go through, I think I've said that once before, as long as you grow through what you go through, talk about it. I mean, allow whatever you go through to become your ministry. There's so many people, like we said, that are hurting, and we as Christians should be the place where those people can come. We have some more callers, and this is, I believe, a new number. This is from the 731 area code with the last four of 7441. Caller, you're on air with us. And again, 731 is the area code.
That would be me.
Hi, who do we have online with us? Hi.
Oh, well, you know who I am. I text you about when your show starts, but we're going to give all glory to God. We're going to give all glory to God if you want. And let's use my ministry name, Rebel Rider.
Okay.
Who I am don't matter.
Well, you have lots to share because for you listeners, this is the person who I'm surprised he's calling in because this is the person who I told him you got to call in. Or I was going to put him on blast and call him and put him on the air. But this is the person, one of the people that replied to the topic yesterday and made the comment. So I'm going to let you have it and share what your comment was and what your thought is on this topic tonight.
Okay. Well, all right. You asked for it. You get it. And I warn you in advance, my mentality is evangelist, not pastor. Your pastor will love on you. I'm just going to tell you how the cow ate the cabbage.
Well, this show is
you
for
good
everybody,
with that?
And I'll have something to offer. So bring it on.
All right. The problem with marriage nowadays is we build a conflict from the time they're 2 to the time they're 65. We take our children and we tell our boys that they have to be rough and tough and they have to solve every problem. And then we marry them off to the girls who are all emotional and the girls expect the man to be all understanding. I heard a pastor, and I wish I could remember his name to give him the credit for this quote, but he said, here you go in a relationship. A woman wants you to just listen, and a man has been programmed to fix everything. So the man is listening for the first word that is the problem, and he wants to fix it when the only thing the woman wants is you to listen to her day. There's only one of the problems. Mm-hmm. America is brooding with problems in marriage, and it all comes down to me, 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 me. You have the wife going, this is what I want. You have the husband going, this is what I want. My coworker right now, I let them move in with me because him and his wife were on hard times. They're in a divorce right now. And I sat here and I listened to both of them. And both of them were saying, this is what I want. This is what I want on both sides. I never did hear either one of them say, this is what we want or this is what we need. And to be quite honest, in this particular instance, it's not always the guy, but in this particular instance, the guy was quite honest. He was like, you know what? I'm not making as much money as I used to now. I need some help. And the wife was like, he's the man. He should provide for me. Well, you know what? That was a very ignorant statement from her. Because if you really are a wife, if you are a Proverbs 31 woman, you understand that you are up and at it and out of bed before your man is. You are tending to your household. You're doing your job. There is no slack time because you're the woman.
I'm going to have to just interrupt there because not a lot of people, I don't think a lot of women are familiar with that Proverbs 31 woman. And I give you a hand.
They don't have to agree with it. They don't have to
agree
with it. And that.
The Bible says it, so I agree with it. We have women who we have to know how to take care of our home. The word says
your home. The Proverbs 31 woman is buying a field and planting it. You know,
but it starts home. I do believe it starts at home.
Right, right. And that's my point exactly. Nowadays, mentality is, well, you get your butt up and go to work while I sit on the couch and eat bonbons. No. That's not how it works. You have responsibility in the marriages, too. And then they put all this pressure on the man to be the sole provider when God actually said, hey, you know what? You're providing, too. If you're doing it my way, you're providing, too. You got chores to do, too. Okay.
But see, I think
but then,
to bring
I'm not done.
Some light.
I'm not done.
Let me interrupt
but go ahead.
A second because I want to get this in. Oh, hold on just a second. With you got to think about when you talk about providing, so many couples, families, they go into the marriage living outside of their means. So
okay.
Whereas God,
you know what?
I believe
you know what?
In true in reality, hold on
also,
just reality,
the
a woman.
The Proverbs also tells you don't
I
do
want
that,
the woman at
it?
Home. What I believe, to take care, to be there. If I'm working 8-10 hours a day, I can't help you very much. If I'm outside of the home working and then coming in and to put it back at you, we both work 10 hours a day. If we both leaving at 5 in the morning and coming back at 5, when we get here, our chores are equal to me.
Okay.
So
if you're doing that, you want too much stuff. If you're both leaving at 5 in the morning and coming back at 10 o'clock at night, you're wanting too much stuff. You're wanting too much stuff. That's the bottom line. You don't need
to
work that long.
Stuff that you don't have or don't need. So it goes by terms of the whole
if you're both doing that, you're wanting too much stuff.
But I can understand what
you're
saying.
You're not wanting each other. You're wanting stuff.
Right, but I understand what you're saying when you're saying that we enter this marriage as selfish individuals and we keep that selfish mentality without having a unified mentality, without having a unified.
Right. There is no teamwork. You know
one,
what?
You're one when
my
you're married.
My Pittsburgh Steelers got their butt handed to them this weekend, and they got their butt handed to them as a team. The analysis is going on right now. Who didn't do this? Who did that? But you know what? The team, the Pittsburgh Steelers, stunk it up Sunday. And you have to have that mentality in a marriage.
A team mentality. That I do agree with. Absolutely.
Okay. If it stinks up, this is the number one thing I hate about divorce. We're always pointing the finger the other way. You know what?
No matter
which way you point the finger, there's only 50% of the blame going that way. The other 50% is coming right back at you because you are a team, and if you stunk it up at marriage, y'all stunk it up.
Right, two people. Two people makes it work.
Yep.
Two people will make it end.
Now, when I say that, don't get me wrong. You cannot be in a relationship where there's only one trying. Ladies, gentlemen, if you realize that you're in a relationship where you are the only one trying, you are the biggest fool. Get out. Because, yet again, you're not on a team. Okay? Some other points I wish to make. A young lady said something about you can't choose a man over the Lord, and we were talking about being unequally yoked. Well, if you are a Christian, if you are sold out to the God and you marry someone that is not, you just did.
You just chose someone. But
God.
Right. But she was saying that if she was walking this way, if she wasn't prior to the marriage and then she became one once they got married, then at that time they had become
The word does not tell us to convert our husband or spouse once we're married. The word tells us if we're already married to a non-believer when we come into belief, then to be patient with them. But it
because
tells
we can
us
convert
if,
them, because they can eventually become changed by why
we
by
can't convert anyone. Only God does. Our only commission in the Great Commission is to witness.
It's to witness.
Forget
and
everything you ever heard about any human being converting anyone. Only God does that.
Only God can. But by
we bear our witness. We bear our witness, and the word clearly says that God opens their eyes and ears.
Right. Okay, let me interrupt you. I have a question for you. Let's say in this particular situation, when male or female, when one of the partners or one of the spouses become a Christian and there's a non-believer, you know, one of them, you have a believer and a non-believer, and the other spouse is not trying, what does that believer, that new Christian, do? If you just
okay,
spoke
you're,
about
you're
it, you're
already
going,
married before you become a Christian? Is that what
yes,
you're,
you're
is that the instance that you're giving? You become a
and
Christian
you're,
and your better half is still not. Is that what you're asking?
Right, and he's trying to work the marriage.
The
not
Paul,
trying to become a Christian.
The Apostle
he's not
Paul lined that out
marriage.
Clearly in the Word. There is
well,
no debate
know,
on this. The Apostle Paul said that as long as they want to remain with you, you remain with them.
Okay.
But if they wish to depart from you,
out,
then you allow it. If they wish
yeah,
to depart from you, then you allow it.
Yeah. Well, I asked that question because I wanted people to hear that, because our comment was before that if there's one person not trying, you're a fool, get out. And so since we brought up
right,
the subject of one person becoming a believer, why they're in the marriage and the other is not,
right,
if that person
right,
is not trying, then I wanted you guys to give your opinion on
then,
what.
Then you have
I'm
a then you have a free
person,
will to bring out. You're out.
Okay.
If they're not trying, and it's the same thing with spousal abuse. That you know what? If you're being abused either way, male or female, that's not
right,
Christian.
Get out.
That's not trying.
Yeah.
Tell them, see you. Bye. Got to go. I'm going to heaven. You might want to try and follow me sometime.
Yeah, so, okay.
Another
point
I want
to talk about. I'm not going to take you out, but I'm going to hold on, Will. I'm going to let you stay in queue. I have a caller, and I think we lost this caller earlier. This is from the 615 area code with the last four, 5957.
Okay.
Caller, you're on air. Who do we have online?
It's not coming through.
This is, again, the 615 area code with the last four of 5957. We tried to bring you in earlier, and I see you've selected one again. Okay. And then that's going to be that for tonight on that one. Okay, then go ahead. We don't have anybody new in queue. And, again, if you're out there and you've been in queue and you want to come back, you need to reselect the number one. You're back in. Okay. Okay.
Am I on again?
I want to ask you guys.
Am I on again?
I want to address the, what do you guys, God, what does God, I want to talk about some of the things that we put into our description. What does God say about divorce? I know that we say we know, but there's a lot of, even among Christians, mostly among Christians, as to who can divorce, when you can divorce, you know, reasons and things like that. What can you do after divorce? Meaning, I've heard it where some churches won't allow you to do much of anything in the church as far as, you know, being a deacon, being in the church and things like that. So I challenge all of you, whether you've talked tonight or not, if you have something additional to say, you know, we can bring you back in. But wanted to talk a little bit about that because, again, there's so many different things. And you can line 10 Christians up and you get – and they can all be from the same church, and sometimes you'll get a different answer from each person. Wanted to discuss that, then the social stigma around divorce, because I think that even during the divorce or thinking about divorce, I think that just kind of make people stagnant in their life. They don't move on because of what people think about them. And then, Tika, we were talking about when you're filling out things, they ask you if you're single, married, widow, divorced.
You always have a box to check divorce.
You know, that goes back to what the one caller said about options. You know, he said, you know, divorce is not an option. But don't you think when you go out clubbing and you're looking at the fellas and you're looking at the dudes and you're placing yourself in that temptation – that you're placing that option out there. One of the greatest rules that my mother and father had in their house is they never went anywhere that not only their significant other was not welcome, that their children was not welcome. Mm. They didn't place themselves in that risk. They didn't place that temptation before each other.
Temptation. Yeah.
Nowadays we rationalize, well, we should be able to go out with the girls. We should be able to go out with boys.
Right in the midst.
You know what?
Temptation.
That would be all right if we were sinless and in a perfect, unfallen world. But when we go out there and we do that, we're looking at the candy in the shop. That's the bottom line.
Well, I'm gonna have to disagree with you guys on that because I mean I think if you are in a relationship, you have to be able to keep some of the things, and it doesn't have to be the club. But if that's your choice, if again, I'm one that I
really
love things,
why?
And something my spouse
why?
Is gonna just have
you've
to
given,
come along
you've
with
given your
to,
life. You've given your life to your significant
decide.
Other. So why do you have to keep your life? I'm gonna
that's
have to disagree with you there.
It's not going to be something that I am going to, that's going to be my choice. The only way I will give that up if that becomes a hindrance in my relationship with God. But if my spouse knows who I am before going into my marriage, I should not have to give up things. See, I think that's going to create, that's setting up divorce, setting up a space for divorce, because you cannot lose who you are. It doesn't mean... me going out to dance does not mean that I'm going to cheat on my spouse. It does not mean that I'm going to. It doesn't mean that I'm going to do anything like that. So
I believe that we wind up making in a marriage. There is going to come some give and take and a lot of compromise. But I do agree with not losing ourselves. But it is some relationships that we may have to give up, because if I'm a married woman and I tend to have several single friends who I know are not living the type of life that I would want my children to know about, I may refrain from spending time in their company because I know that that's not best for me, and I may be setting myself up.
But you don't have to go out with friends.
Right.
And
so
again,
there may be some changes in some of the things I choose to do.
Always
in
marriage
because
thing. But what I'm saying is people don't, you cannot lose, this is one thing I think we make a big mistake in.
You lose yourself.
Wanting
you lose
and
yourself.
That a person has to dedicate all of their time to you and lose their interest. You cannot expect a person to become this perfect person for you. A person might want to play golf. You know, I like to play golf. I may not meet a man or marry a man that likes golf, but we may find something else that we can do together, but I should still be able to, and so should that man be able to do things.
Right.
And I'm not saying you go and you hang out till 5, 6 o'clock in the morning. You create those boundaries and you learn what those boundaries and you know what those boundaries are before you get married. And if those things come up, of course, if they jeopardize your marriage, there's not much I would not do to save marriage.
You know what?
But
a lot of us, we come from so many different backgrounds. We come from a totally different makeup. Even though we fall in love with another person, we come from two different parents, two different environments, two different upbringings, sometimes two different religions. And so that brings back into play what Peggy had mentioned, get into some type of premarital counseling, because these are things that we will be able to work out and bring to the table prior to making this decision to go forward in a union together. If you had known these things in advance, your choices may have been differently, but a lot of times a lot of things aren't addressed when people are dating, because you're on that euphoric high. Everybody's on cloud nine. Then when you begin to plan the marriage, you're on a different cloud nine, and there's so many surface things, and you're just riding up in the clouds, and you're in this euphoric state of reason, and a lot of times we don't bring those real things to the table until you're faced with them. And counseling prepares you for when this takes place, how will you deal with this? It prepares you for real life scenarios, and you're counseled with a person who knows the word to prepare you for those real life scenarios to see how you will deal with it and to know how to proceed in life. And is this something I can handle, or is this something I don't know about? Is this something I can learn? To me, it makes so much sense to take. That is a course that is so needed, because a lot of times we're young and we don't know, and we're just kind of diving in head first without being prepared for the what ifs. We don't know the what ifs. Mm-hmm. And when we're faced with those what ifs, like Kevin said, we panic and we just look for a way out because that word in divorce, once you plant those seeds of divorce, once that panic sets in, you just look for, I got to get out of here. But you keep that same mentality if and when you go into your second marriage or the third marriage. You keep that same running mentality and that same me mentality and that same I don't know how to deal with this. And so until those areas, until you gain clarity and focus and a right direction on those areas in your life, the pattern, you're going to keep that same pattern no matter what relationship you're in, no matter what direction you go in. You keep the same pattern. You keep that unhealthy same pattern and that same unhealthy mind frame until you know how to join together. It's not something we don't have a classroom teaching us how to become one, even though we're two separate individuals. We don't have anything teaching us how to become one. And even though the Bible says when you're married, you become one, we don't know how to do that. But we learn and we take classes on learn how to do everything else, but nothing teaches us how to become one. So how do you know? Trial and error is a teacher, but it's not always the best teacher when it comes to marriage because those are the marriages that end in divorce, and that's why the divorce rate is so drastically just over exceeding anything imaginable.
Right. I think we must have lost Will. Will, are you still with us? Okay. We have several more people in queue, so we're just going to keep going. I don't recognize this caller. We have a caller from the 951 area code with the 0281 last four. You're on air with us from the area code of 951.
Yes. Hello.
Hi. Who do we have online with?
Plachette.
Okay. Hi, Plachette. How are you?
I'm hanging in there, guys. I'm not feeling well, but I wanted to share some things with you all. I'm an adult, of course, but I came from a family that was divorced. My parents divorced, and it was a very nasty divorce in how it affected my life. It was my parents really used me as a tool to get back at one another, and it was a very difficult thing for me to go through as a child. And as a child, you don't have anyone to talk to. You know, as adults, we have our friends or therapists. We can go out and seek help and get help. But the kids have no one. But what I wanted to say is I never saw myself getting married based off what I, you know, experienced as a child with my parents. But somehow, and I have to say God, my husband sought me out and we are happily married, but I just never saw it. And I think if you just have God there, that's just the key to everything, even the children, because even though the divorce and everything I went through, I don't think any child should have had to go through or witness. I still made it. And I think it was because of the grace of God that I made it and found my foundation in marriage. And everything. I'm so sorry, y'all. I'm just all off key here because I've been waiting a long time to talk, so I forgot everything that I mentioned.
What you want to say?
Yeah.
I think what we really hear is that you are getting across that for listeners, for people who, again, if you're contemplating divorce, if you've gone through divorce, we have to, in everything, I mean, there's so many things that we leave children out of and we think that they're not affected. They do, like Pika said, they do see what we're going through. They feel what we're going through, and it affects their lives.
And they suffer a lot greater than
everything.
They
do. But, you know, it has really taught me for my children that I have four children and I have two outside of my marriage. And it has really taught me, and some nasty things have gone on in those relationships, but it has really taught me to just show my children nothing but love. And I take on the pain, you know, of what their fathers are doing or, you know, things that I don't agree with or whatever. But I don't never, you know, allow that to interfere with them and their love for their father or whatnot. Mm-hmm. And it's well worth, it's a hard thing to do, but I'm telling you, my son is about to turn 21 years old, and he loves, I mean, he loves all of us, his my husband, his biological father, everybody. And I think it all has to do with that I really didn't put on him. He knew what we were going through. I mean, he couldn't help but know because we were going to court. But I think it's all in the way you handle it as a parent, how you handle the things with the kids. I mean, I've had some disaster where my son was raped, one of my sons. And we wanted to freak out or whatever, but we didn't. Somehow, just God just said, just calm down. It didn't happen to you. It happened to them. And it's just a weird thing how that all happened. But let me get back to where I was talking about. I'm sorry, I'm getting on a whole nother subject. But go ahead and just jump in with me, please, y'all.
Yeah, you're. Because, no, I see what you're saying, especially with children and what you went through, because most of all, like you said, kids don't have an outlet. They don't have anybody to talk to. And then they're too afraid to say anything because they just have been put in such a state of fear. They don't know who to talk to, who to trust. Am I going to make anything worse by saying anything? Because most of all, kids feel that they are the blame for everything. I don't know why children gain this type of mentality, but they feel that they're the blame for everything. And so they're constantly saying to themselves, if I say anything, I'm going to make it worse. I'm going
to
make it worse.
And they feel like they have to choose which parent. You know, if I say to them.
Fighting. Okay. If parents are fighting, especially. Yeah.
Right. When I had to go on the stand and choose each time what a parent don't want. A few years I live with one parent, and a few years with the other. Well, it was painful because it felt like I had to choose which one I loved
the most.
And that was, you know, I had to navigate through that as a child, even though, you know, it was just no comparison. I don't love one more than the other. That was just something I had to navigate all by myself. And I have to just thank God for that, because through all that, all I did was just kind of pray. And I really didn't go to church. I wasn't brought up in the church. But that's just all I had. And so that's all I did, was just kind of prayed and talked to God through all. And I swear that's what saw me through into my marriage. Because I swear I had no foundation.
You didn't have a model. You didn't have a model of what marriage is.
No, not at all.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want it. You know, I just did not want it. If that's the marriage is,
but this is what marriage
what
is.
I would,
right.
My parents, I did not want no parts of it. So I think it's just important for those who are going through divorce to really just step outside themselves and out of their emotions, a whole bunch of emotions, and really take a look at their kids and, you know, help them through it. That's just, I mean, we'll get through this. We're grown, but the kids, it's a forever thing. It is a forever thing.
Mm-hmm.
But by the grace of God, I got out of my, you know, I got through mine, and I forgive my parents and everything. But it's just through God, I was able to do all that. And
it's worked out for the
best
of you. And you're in a healthy marriage. You're in a loving marriage, and your children can see that love. And so they're growing up with something completely opposite of what you ever grew up in.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's amazing. And I couldn't have done that without God at all. Absolutely not. There's no way I could have incorporated everything that I have now. I couldn't give myself
on
no
your
credit.
Own.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No.
I agree.
No.
I want to throw a story in, since we're talking about children. This is something that I wanted to focus on tonight as well. And this is Pete. This is a story about, or a little insert about Pete Rose, who is he's a big league in baseball. He's part of the big league baseball. And this is where his parents had gone through a divorce as he was growing up. And again, he made it big in the baseball league. And one of the things he said after becoming, you know, pretty much successful in this baseball league, and he's a grown man, what he said was, I would give all of this back, all the fame, all the money, everything, just to have my parents be together. And it goes on to say that society or the media thought, you know, he's got to be out of his mind, because media had, this divorce had pretty much been in the spotlight. Each parent was bickering, you know, against one another and putting the other down. in spite of all of that. So media looked at it as if, why would he even want that? As an adult, he should be self-centered, so to speak. He's made it big. He should not care. But to him, it was more important, or it would have been more important. He said, I would give it all back just to have my parents back together. And it goes back to that definition that we read about children, what they see marriage as. You know, they look at mom and dad as their protector, their provider, as one, not separately. And I think the biggest mistake is, like Will said, I guess we did lose him. We need to look at us, even in the way that we handle the divorce afterwards or during or before the divorce. You got one finger pointed out where it goes back, you know, into us, and
children
need to be mindful. And it takes people, right. It takes two people to make a mess, an argument, and so forth. And sometimes, you know, you just be in silent and move on and put your focus on growing through what you're going through and
moving
loving
forward.
God. And
moving forward, yes. Because children watch. They are watching you even when you don't think they're watching. They're watching us constantly. They're watching your words, your actions, your everything. They're watching when you're talking on the phone to someone and you don't know that they're listening. And so you may tell one person one thing and one person something else. They're watching you. You teach them how to deceive. You teach them how to manipulate. They're watching everything. So in our actions, we have to be careful, because do you want to teach your children how to, you know, do little underhanded things or little undermined things? And so we got to be careful in what we do, because they are always watching. I've never been aware of my children watching me than I was while going through this divorce. And I realized that when I panicked and when I threw a tantrum and when I flipped out, they were flipping out and they were panicked and they were crying. But when I stayed at ease and when I remained peaceful and when I remained calm, they did the same thing too. I didn't realize how strong an influence I had on what they saw me doing. But they would behave in that same exact manner. And so
it sounds like we may have a show later on children that's going through divorce and allow kids to call in. So, thank you, Pochette, for sharing that, and we wish you more success in your marriage. And, you know, like you said, through God's grace, even though you see that, you were able to create that for yourself and, you know, give yourself much credit for that. You and your spouse, with the grace of God, you know, God's grace is sufficient, and it's always, but there comes work from us in making those things work. So give yourself a pat on the back and your husband as well, because it does take two, like Will was saying.
Yes.
So
all glory to God.
You know,
I can say she has.
He commends you on that.
Friend, commend you completely. And this has been a friend of my in my life for over 20 years now. So shit has. And I can actually say that because God has stepped into her life and just changed her whole life, and he was there all along as she was a child going through all that she's gone through, she is a model parent now, and she is a model citizen now, and she can actually, she has a model marriage as well. So she is actually, she's actually providing something healthy for someone else to look into and want to learn from and want to, you know, get knowledge from and want to seek counsel from, because she's actually, you know, providing what the word says. And I commend her, and, of course, all glory to God, but I'm blessed to have a friend like you, because I've watched you grow. We've watched each other grow together. And so I'm thankful that you're listening to our show and that you're a part of this show into my life.
Love you. Thank you.
I love
you. Okay. I think we have a repeat caller. I think Elaine is trying to get back through onto us. This is 910.
Yes.
I think you. Am I mistaken? Are you trying to come back in?
Yes, I'm trying to come back in.
Okay. Okay. Great.
Yes. Can you hear me?
You're on.
Yes. We're fine.
Okay. This is for Will. He says he's an evangelist. This is not to disrespect anybody. I never said, I even made that mistake. I never said you go and just get married to, when I say, the Bible say, how can two walk together unless they agree? No, the wife can't sanctify the husband. The Bible don't say leave your husband. If he's abusing you, you have that right. When he commit adultery, the Bible says you can divorce him and remarry, okay? And so I wasn't saying, and I am familiar with the Proverbs woman.
31:11-31. The heart. I'm not going to read them all, but the heart of the husband who is satisfied, trusty in when she have no need of spoil. She will do her good and not evil all the day. You know all of that, okay? But this, she opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. So I am going to be kind. I never said that you just up and leave your husband or you just go and get married. You don't make joke when it comes to, you don't compare marriages with cars. This thing is, first of all, the Bible says if a man doesn't take care of his household, he is worse than an infidel. The man is the head of the house. Yes, that's what, and he's supposed to love his wife like God loved the church. Like, he's supposed to love his wife like he loved his own body. That's how he, that's what his wife is supposed to mean to him. A woman shouldn't have to go out there. Now, it's okay if women work, yes, but she should not have to step up and take the role of the husband. That's not biblical. The Bible says he is worse than an infidel if he doesn't take care of his wife and his children. Now, if there's sickness, yes, we understand that the woman steps up and does what she has to do. This is why so many marriages is breaking, coming down, because people are not looking at it from the Lord's. You can't compare and joke around with this stuff. This is serious. This is really serious.
That's what people are today. They are joking around with. They're not looking at it from the aspect of what God is.
To a certain extent, but I don't agree with him 100%. Yes, biblically, he's right. And a woman, yes, a woman gets up late. You find women who's out there working just as hard as the husband and still gets up late. Still gets up late.
Right.
And that doesn't mean that a man is weak. It doesn't mean that we're putting him down. But he is the head of the house. Why do you think the serpent came to Eve in the garden and not to Adam? We are supposed to be the weaker vessels. We are supposed to be the, who did God come, when he came walking through the garden, he didn't ask for Eve. He asked Adam, where art thou? He held Adam responsible. So that man is going to be responsible for everything Jesus. That goes on in his house.
Yes.
Because he is the head. So the devil knows if he knocked down the head, he thinks he got the household. He think, and not to take away from the last caller, because my heart goes out to her, and God has taken you through, sweetheart, and he's going to continue to take you through. You just stand fast in the faith and hold on to God and look to the hills from which cometh your help, and God will never leave you. The Bible says he'll never leave us or never forsake us, but he didn't put us here to be mistreated. He didn't give a woman to a man to be a punching bag, to be disrespectful, to go out and bring diseases into his house. All this stuff, it's like a ladder. Once you knock the man down, the devil thinks he has the household. So I hope Will is listening, because I'm not going to sit here and say I agree with him totally. No, we cannot save our husband. The Lord does the saving. He said you live the Christian life in front of your husband. And if that will sometimes help. But when you got a man, it's a will.
Yeah.
It's a will.
It
you have your own will. God give all of us a will. So I'm sorry.
We have to be able to. If what people need to take away from this is once we establish our relationship with God, we see things totally different. If you are truly walking your walk and having your talk, you begin to see things different. You're going
to pick and choose
your people that you bring into your life. Your choices should be different.
Yes.
That does not mean that it won't allow you to pick some things or go through some things, like you said. But the moral of this, if young women are listening today, the best thing that you can do for yourself and young men is get yourself in line with. Don't wait until you're old to start establishing your relationship with God. That way, a lot of the things that even that you go through will be different as you go through them.
Yes,
so
he will help her to make the right decision. The Lord will sit that
young
woman right there in place, and that man will have to find her. He'll have to find her. And of this, what he said about changing your whole life, why should you have to? God does the changing. And if your husband know who you are in Christ, you shouldn't have to worry about what other people outside think about what you're doing. People are going to talk whether you do good or bad. As long as you have the Lord in your life, the Lord is in that marriage, he don't have to worry about why should another man outside of the house worry about what his wife is doing? He's content. He trusts his wife. So I don't see where you got to do this, or you got to do that. It's not about that. It's about you have to live the word of God. It's different when you know the word, but you have to live the word. So, Will, I'm praying for Will, and tell Will to, I hope he's listening, he can pray for me. I agree with him on certain extent, but I don't agree totally because some of the stuff he's saying is not biblical. Yes, I understand that he's telling the truth. He's right about we have to, we can't just, you're not supposed to just give up, you know, but you're not supposed to be a punching bag. You're not supposed to be disrespectful. You're not supposed to be, he's not supposed to go outside of his marriage. And the Bible states once he commit adultery, if she chooses to, she can divorce him and remarry. There's some Christians, there's some churches say you're not even supposed to remarry until that man dies. That's not Bible. That's not Bible. So that's the only one reason I want to come back in because I never said that. Yeah, the Bible says how can two walk together if they're unequally yoked? But you being not, if you're a Christian, you're not going to go out there and just marry. You know, you're going to get just what you marry, what you expect. You know, you're going to get just what you got. If you go and you know that man is not saved, what do you expect? What do you expect?
Right.
But what if they're not saved and she gets married and he gets saved and she's not? She go out there and commit adultery. He can divorce her and remarry, vice versa. And if she chooses, the Bible also says if she chooses to depart or if he chooses to depart, then let them go. Then let them go. You know, it's all about.
I'm gonna have to come in because we're down to our last 3 minutes.
Okay.
I want to just kind of bring the show to an end, get a few things in there.
Thank you
again, and I'm glad you came back in to get that point across because it is important that
thank
people
you.
Do know that you do not stay in no way. And some churches will tell you to stay in even if you're getting.
I've known women who would get their nose broken into, women who's got their ribs broken because churches was telling them, don't leave your husband. You're not supposed to leave your husband. That's not biblical.
Right. So in conclusion, and thanks again, I'm going to go ahead and put you back in queue so we can
okay.
And I hope we were able to get in. Let's see. Just real quick, I'm going to spend about a minute and then give it over to Tika, and then I think we've probably taken all of the callers. I know I didn't nearly get through some of the hardly any
things
of the
you wanted
that
to
I
add.
That's okay because don't want it to be always about Tika and I and our points and our views or our lives. We want you to get it in because that way we're helping, you know, what you have to bring can help someone. And we won't all agree on the same subject. Like I said, you can get 12 Christians from the same church or non-Christians if you want to go there too. And you're going to get different views and opinions because people have different lifestyles, styles, they come from different backgrounds. So we just have to agree to disagree and pray for each other because we have to stand on what we believe and allow God to provide to us the way to go. And I think we'll all end up in the same place if we stand fast on God's word and keep pushing for a relationship with him and bringing glory to him in everything that we do. That being said, in conclusion, if you're going through a divorce, just a couple of quick things, or if you are divorced now, don't associate yourself as a failure. Don't harbor in your bitterness. Forgive yourself and your spouse. And again, I want to be clear that we are not, there's always two people to blame in a divorce. There's never one person to solely blame. Work on you. If you are thinking about divorce, be sure before that it is your last resort. God will see you through. There is life after divorce, but it is a last resort for God. God doesn't want you to stay into abusive relationships and things like that, but be sure that you did your part. If you haven't and there's room, there's a chance that you might make it, work it out, try. Okay? Hope we've touched base or helped somebody tonight. We ran out of time. Tika, go ahead and you can close out the show with your last words and just go ahead and close out the show. We got about a minute left.
Okay, I want to leave with the scripture, Philippians 1:6, and it says, "And I'm certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." And I also wanted to leave with the scripture of Matthew 19:3. What God has joined together, let not letting that man put asunder. Oh, that's Matthew 19:6. And I just want to thank you all for tuning in, for joining us this week. Pray that you be a blessing as you walk into this next week, into someone's lives. And I thank you for becoming a blessing in our lives and allowing us this opportunity to share all that we would like to share with you and in our growth on helping you to move forward. Good night. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks, everyone.